It's the real you that must now inspire the conscious you. Welcome to Jewish Meditation with Rabbi G. This is the series on the High Holy Days formula. We are number 3. So let's just recap what we said the last 2 weeks. We started with the month of Elul, which is the month of reflection and stock-taking. It's the month where we have to really unsettle ourselves so we can reveal our soul and be honest with ourselves, both with successes and the failures. Last week, we led that into the next phase of the journey, Rosh Hashanah, which is when we blow the shofar from the depth of our heart and we expose the real us, the real you, the spark of the soul that is still pure and pristine and hasn't sinned and hasn't failed. And we bring that out because that's the starting point. That's where we start from to repair and rebuild. That's the starting point when we blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah. We reveal that part of our essence and our experience is the part that is still pure, that is never broken. And therefore, we can now reconnect with God like a father to a child and repair and rebuild from that point of purity, from that point of absolute wholeness. But now we move on from Rosh Hashanah to the 10 days of Tshuva and Yom Kippur. So it is now time, once we finish Rosh Hashanah, for the real self to inspire and direct the conscious self. Because the real self is that's now been exposed is that part of us that is pure and holy and whole. But the conscious self still has its mistakes and still has its complications and rough parts that needs to be fixed and dealt with and resolved. And as we said last week, our conscious self is not the definition of who we are, but it is ours and it's our responsibility. So what happens now, it's the real self, the soul, the depth of the soul that must now inspire a rebuilding process, a improvement process on the conscious self. And the conscious self has many layers. And that's why we have the 10 days of Tshuva culminating with Yom Kippur. Because the 10 days, our Kabbalists tell us, correspond to the 10 layers, the 10 powers of the soul. 3 being intellectual, 6 being emotional, and then we have the last one called Malchut, which is sort of leadership, which means implementation, communication, and putting it into practice. So it's Chochmah, Binah, Da'at is the intellectual. Then we have the 6 emotional, Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod Yesod, and then finally Malchut. And each time, each day sort of we use, or each period during this time, we think about those various layers of who we are, the 10 layers, but more specifically broken into 3, we think about our intellect. We think about how's our value system that lives in our mind, our perspectives, how's it doing? Have we, in the past year, have we sort of explored a little bit Jewish wisdom? Have we learned? Can we learn more maybe for the coming year? We think about our emotions. Do we react properly? Do we have healthy emotions? Do we get angry too often or do we not? Do we hate sometimes? Are we intolerant? Are we jealous? All those kind of emotional responses to the world around us. Where can we look? Where we've done this during Elul, we now know what we can work with, what we need to improve on. And of course, Malchut, the implementation, the commitment to our values and the commitment to our Jewishness. Maybe there's a mitzvah that we could improve on. Maybe there's kindness we can engage in. Maybe we can start putting on tefillin a bit more often. Maybe we can add a mezuzah to our home. Maybe we can do another mitzvah. So all those things we need to think about. And we have this 10-day plan, which is a time to really make a plan and to really sort of see how we can make this happen. And of course, the plan has to be practical, but it has to be a push, which means it should be reasonable expectations. We should never, of course, over-resolve, make resolutions that are far beyond our capability. But there is a requirement to grow in different areas, not just ones we're comfortable with, but even give ourselves a little push so that we can take on a new mitzvah. We can resolve to improve our relationships. We can resolve to get angry a little bit less during the week or a little bit less jealous or engage in Jewish wisdom and Jewish learning and so on and so forth. So we come to the new year, we come to Yom Kippur. And then we have a plan for the year which we're going to implement and we're going to make happen and sustainable and realistic and can actually be effective and last. Because now 2 things have happened. We've revealed the part of us that is infinite, the good part of us, the real self, the part of us which inspires infinite change and infinite potential. And we've now married that together with our conscious self in order to actually inspire a practical, realistic plan for the coming year. And then comes Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, something magical happens. Yom Kippur, number one, we wipe the slate clean. We apologize. We ask forgiveness, both from our fellow people and from God himself. He accepts, he atones, he wipes the slate clean. He gives us a complete fresh start because he sees that we've put in the effort. We've reflected. We've gone to the depth of our soul. We've made a realistic plan in our conscious self and so on. And therefore, he's ready to fully forgive. And he sees that we're trying and he welcomes that one extra step that we're going to take for the coming year. And then as we come to the final part of Yom Kippur, known as Ne'ilah. Ne'ilah is the fifth prayer of Yom Kippur, corresponding again, going back to the real self, going back to the essence of who we are. Because what now happens in Ne'ilah is something unbelievable. When we reveal our real self, our depth of our soul, the real self and our conscious self were not aligned. And of course, the idea is to make them aligned. So we work the whole 10 days of Shabbat to have our conscious self live by the inspiration of our real self. And then by the time we come to Yom Kippur, we've made that plan. We've married the two together. We come to Ne'ilah, everything is wiped clean. There's this amazing bonding that we have with God during those final moments of Yom Kippur. And it's at that moment where the conscious self and the real self are fully aligned and we create within ourselves that sense of oneness. No longer fragmented, conflicted self, but it's a sense of oneness. And that oneness connects with the oneness of God when we recite at the end of Ne'ilah that verse which we live and die with, which represents our commitment to the oneness and the sovereignty of God, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So that's the most powerful part of the Yom Kippur service, when everything is finally aligned. Let's understand that concept of oneness and let's internalize it a little bit. So wherever you are, make yourself comfortable. Slowly become more aware. If you need to, slowly close your eyes. Focus and remove distractions and turn your attention to your breathing. Breathe in and out. Just for a few moments. Bearing in mind, of course, that as we always say, the breathing is neshima in Hebrew, same words as neshama. Each breath is an expression of the soul. Throughout the journey of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we've exposed the depth of our soul, we've worked on the other layers of our soul, and we've aligned them both together. And we've arrived at Ne'ilah, the time of oneness. As you continue to breathe and think about the connection to your neshama, I want you to imagine an orchestra of many, many different instruments. Imagine a symphony, the beauty, the harmony. Just pause for a few moments and just try and conjure up in your mind the symphonic sound of a huge orchestra with so many different instruments. Now imagine if those same instruments, all different from each other, played out of sync, not together. Just picture in mind how awful that would sound, how out of tune that would sound, how grating it would sound. What brings the oneness to the orchestra? What produces the symphonic harmonious sounds? The conductor. When all the instruments, the different instruments, follow the conductor, they play in unison and it's beauty. There's no conflict, there's no tension, just beauty and oneness. Think of your personality. Different priorities, different layers, intellect, emotion, different types of emotion, different behaviors, different weaknesses, different strengths. We are a fragmented soul, fragmented human being. But the oneness of the godly conductor coming through the depth of our soul inspires oneness. When we follow our deep values, a deep connection to God expressed at the very essence of our soul, everything follows one lead, one basis, one foundation. And we achieve calmness, oneness, purpose. So come back to where you are, and when you're feeling fragmented, have a think about what is your purpose, what are your values, what's living at the depth of your soul. And try to use that to bring harmony and oneness into your experience.